Blog Talk Radio.
Today, tomorrow, and forever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or wherever in the world you are. You're enjoying the Catholic Defenders radio program, Novena to the Holy Spirit to Pentecost, which comes up on May the 28th. The Mass is the source of the purpose, the passion, and the power. God the Father is the purpose. God the Son is the passion. God the Holy Spirit is the power. The gift, the God of heaven comes to us in his Eucharistic presence. Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from your clear celestial height, your pure beaming radiance give. The Holy Spirit, only one thing is important, eternal salvation. Only one thing is therefore to be feared, and that's sin. Sin is the result of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With his sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with love of God. To ensure our salvation, we ought to invoke the divine spirit daily, for the spirit helpeth our infirmity. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the spirit himself asketh for us. Almighty and eternal God, who has vouchsafed to regenerate us by water and the Holy Spirit, and has given us forgiveness of all sins, vouchsafe to send forth from heaven upon us your sevenfold spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety, and fill us with the spirit of holy fear. Amen. Act of consecration to the Holy Spirit. On my knees before the great multitude of heavenly witnesses, I offer myself, soul and body, to you, eternal Spirit of God. I adore the brightness of your purity, the unerring keenness of your justice, and the might of your love. You are the strength and light of my soul. In you I live and move and am. I desire never to grieve you by unfaithfulness to grace, and I pray with all my heart to be kept from the smallest sin against you. Mercifully guard my every thought and grant that I may always watch for your light and listen to your voice and follow your gracious inspirations. I cling to you and give myself to you and ask you by your compassion to watch over me in my weakness. Holding the pierced feet of Jesus and looking for his five wounds and trusting in his precious blood and adoring his open side and stricken heart, I implore you, adorable Spirit, helper of my infirmity, to keep me in your grace that I may never sin against you. Give me grace. O Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father and the Son, to say you always and everywhere, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, who before ascending into heaven did promise to send the Holy Spirit to finish your work in the souls of your apostles and disciples, deign to grant the same Holy Spirit to me, that he may perfect in my soul the work of your grace and your love. Grant me the spirit of wisdom, that I may despise the perishable things of this world and aspire only after the things that are eternal. The spirit of understanding, to enlighten my mind with the light of your divine truth. The spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. The spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with you and that I may overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. The spirit of knowledge, that I may know God and know myself, and grow perfect in the science of the saints. The spirit of piety, that I may find the service of God sweet and amiable, and the spirit of fear, that I may be filled with a loving reverence towards God, and may dread in any way to displease him. Mark me, dear Lord, with the sign of your true disciples, and animate me in all things with your spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Pompeii Novena. Our Lady of Pompeii is a title given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devotion to Our Lady of Pompeii began in Pompeii, Italy, in the late 1800s. The devotion is closely involved with devotion to the Rosary. Our Lady of Pompeii intercession has brought many miracles. You can use this novena to seek intercession from Our Lady of Pompeii to any aspect of your life. In the late 1800s, there were very few people living in the village of Pompeii in Italy. Most the small population had fallen away from the Catholic faith, and their ancestors had once practiced. Many of the population was very superstitious and ignorant of the faith. In 1872, a nobleman named Bartolo Longo arrived in Pompeii. Bartolo was a Catholic, but did not seem to be very devout. He had traveled to Pompeii to look at property. His wife owned there, and he wanted to see what condition the property was in. Shortly after arriving in Pompeii, Bartolo had a supernatural experience. He was walking in a deserted area when he heard a voice. The voice told him that he should spread devotion to the Rosary if he wished to be saved. The voice also told him that the Blessed Virgin Mary had promised that this was the way to find salvation. The Church of Our Lady of Pompeii was built between 1876 and 1891. Between 1934 and 1939, the Basilica of Our Lady of Pompeii was built. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your mother. Help us always to turn to her as a mother in all of our needs. Our Lady of Pompeii, you look out for the good of all people in your motherly love. We want all of us to turn to you with our needs so that you may bring our needs before your Son. Through our devotion to the prayer of the Holy Rosary, you can help us in all that we seek. Please bring all of our petitions before the throne of your Son. And we particularly ask today that you pray that we and all people may grow in devotion to the Holy Rosary. Pray for us that we may grow in love each day. Pray that we may be eager to make use of every help God gives us on our journey to heaven. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those who are suffering addictions and those in bondage, for those who need deliverance. We pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis and all the clergy. Our Lady of Pompeii, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Promise number 3, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. The Catholic Defender, promise 3, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. What great sign of predestination for those who are devoted to the rosary. A promise coming from the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, offering the rosary as a powerful armor against hell. St. Padre Pio, the stigmata priest, explained that the rosary is the weapon. At Fatima, Portugal, Our Lady encouraged the 3 children of Fatima to pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. Consider what St. Paul writes to the Ephesians. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirit in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, both with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:10-17. I used to work at a warehouse that would make a whole day of meditating on the rosary. I would travel several miles a day to gathering pallets for the hand jack to take back to the receiving department so some of my trucks could be offloaded and forklift drivers could place them in the warehouse. I would largely be on my own as the warehouse was about the size of 3 football fields. That's a lot of warehouse. My work day would begin at 7 a.m. and would go until 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, I would pray and meditate the first mystery from 7 to 9 to the 9 o'clock break. After a 10-minute break, I would pray the second and third mysteries until lunchtime at 11:30. After lunch, I would begin the fourth mystery of the rosary until the next break at 2 p.m. I would finish the fifth mystery of the rosary, continuing until the workday was completed. I felt as I was praying the rosary, praying on the Bible every day, and this had great impact on me ever since. I cherish the memory of when I was able to make a day of prayer like that, and it truly did help me grow in my Catholic faith. I would see myself in the lives of our Blessed Lord and His Holy Mother, especially the sorrowful mysteries. I recognized myself because of my sin to have increased the suffering of the Lord because of my pride, my ignorance, and my weakness. Those were powerful meditations, as through the day I would keep the receiving full of pallets. The bad part is that I was so good after 5 years I could never advance in the company, and the opportunity to join the military offered me much more. Another blessing was that I was in tremendous shape and benefited greatly there as well. I was always an athlete, and when I joined the United States Army, I never looked back. God had other plans for me. 1 Timothy 4:7-9 states, avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion, for while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, as it holds the promise of life for both the present and for the future. His saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. The rosary is a powerful devotion, the queen of devotions, and what a promise Our Lady gives to those who have made such a commitment to devotional prayer. During these early days of beginning with my senior year in college, at the time I pulled a hand jack gathering pallets, I was challenged many times by many different people. I had Protestant ministers attempt to challenge me on the Catholic faith. Sometimes they would come knocking on my door, wanting to debate and offering their Bible studies to get me to see the error of my ways. Through this time, we witnessed several conversions to the Catholic faith as I never turned down an opportunity. The rosary, if you are dedicated to praying it, Our Lady promises to defeat heresies. I believe that to be true, at least for me it is. the truth of the Catholic faith becomes crystal clear when you build yourself, as you build yourself on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Against vice and sin, and the rosary has been a lifesaver for me. St. Paul warns, now the works of the flesh are obvious, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:19-23. If you are dedicated to the rosary, it's like a shield that the Lord uses to help you grow, and the Holy Spirit will ultimately help kill off the temptations and the lure of sin. The rosary can be a weapon against evil and can help families grow together. The gates of hell should not prevail against a faithful Catholic who is following the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living in a time when apostasy is rampant. In the United States, 1 out of 10 Americans statistically is a fallen away Catholic. The vast majority of those who have fallen away were never devoted to the rosary. The battle lines are being drawn between good and evil. The rosary is heaven's peace plan to save many if we are willing to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. What a great sign of predestination for those who were devoted to the rosary. The promise coming from the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, offering the rosary as a powerful armor against hell. St. Padre Pio, the stigmata priest, exclaimed the rosary is the weapon. At Fatima in Portugal, Our Lady encouraged the three children of Fatima to pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. Consider what St. Paul writes to the Ephesians. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord, from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:10-17. I used to work at a warehouse that would make a whole day of meditating on the rosary. I would travel several miles a day gathering pallets with a hand jack to take back to the receiving department so semi-trucks could be offloaded and forklift drivers could place them in the warehouse. I would largely be on my own as the warehouse was about the size of 3 football fields. My work day would begin at 7 a.m. and I would go until 3 p.m., Monday through Friday. I would pray and meditate on the first mystery from 7 to 9 a.m. break. After a 10-minute break, I would pray the second and third mysteries until lunchtime at 11:30. After lunch, I would begin the fourth mystery of the rosary until the next break at 2 p.m. I would finish the fifth mystery of the rosary, continuing the work until the workday was completed. I felt as I was praying on the Bible every day, and it's had great impact on me ever since. I cherish the memory of when I was able to make a day of prayer like that, and it truly did help me grow in my Catholic faith. I would see myself in the lives of our Blessed Lord and His Holy Mother, especially sorrowful mysteries. I recognized myself because of my sin to have increased the suffering of the Lord because of my pride, my ignorance, and my weakness. Those were powerful meditations that through the day I would keep the receiving full of talents. The bad part of that is I was so good after 5 years I could never advance in the company, and the opportunity to join the military offered me much more. Another blessing was that I was in tremendous shape and benefited greatly there as well. I was always an athlete, and when I joined the United States Army, I never looked back. God had other plans for me. 1 Timothy 4:7-9 states, avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion But while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds the promise of life both for the present and the future. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. The rosary is a powerful devotion, the queen of devotion, the queen of devotions, and what a promise Our Lady gives to those who have made such a commitment to devotional prayer. During those early days, beginning with my senior year in college and the time I pulled a hand gathering balance, I was challenged many times by many different people. I had Protestant ministers attempting to challenge me on the Catholic faith. Sometimes they would come knocking on my door, waiting to debate and offer their Bible studies to get me to see the error of my ways. Through this time, we witnessed several conversions to the Catholic faith as I never turned down an opportunity. Usually, if you are dedicated to praying it, Our Lady promises to defeat heresies. I believe that to be true, at least for me it is. The truth of the Catholic faith becomes crystal clear as you build yourself on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Against vice and sin, the rosary has been a lifesaver for me. St. Paul warns now that works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking, vows, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Galatians 5:19 through 23. If you are dedicated to the rosary, it's like a shield the Lord uses to help you grow, and the Holy Spirit will ultimately help kill off the temptations and the lure of sin. The rosary can be a weapon against evil and can help families grow together. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the faithful Catholic who is following the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living in a time when apostasy is rampant. In the United States, 1 out of 10 Americans are statistically is a fallen away Catholic. The vast majority of those who have fallen away were never devoted to the rosary. The battle lines are being drawn between good and evil. The rosary is heaven's peace plan to save many if we are willing to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. The Eucharistic miracle of Rexendorf, Australia, the year is 1411. In the parish church of Whiten, a thief broke into the sacristy and got hold of a consecrated host that he slipped into one of his gloves. According to reports from the village of Whiten, the theft occurred in 1411. The thief then mounted his horse to make for the nearby village's gates. Instead of taking the main road, he chose a side road that passes through the valley of Mullendorf. When he arrived at the spot that today is marked by a chapel in honor of the miracle, his horse halted and would not move, no matter how much the man beat him. It sounds like somebody else we know. Some laborers were working in the surrounding fields came to help, but there was no way to make the horse move. It stood still as a statue. Then, without warning, the animal leaped to a gallop, and the sacred host hidden in the rider's glove dropped to the ground without anyone noticing. A few days later, Mrs. Schneck from Mannersdorf passed by the spot and saw the host encircled in the strong light. In great wonder, she picked up the Holy Eucharist and noticed that the consecrated host was broken into two parts that remained joined together by threads of bleeding flesh. Greatly moved and on her own expense and thanksgiving, she built a small chapel on the spot. As news of the miracle spread, many pilgrims came to the place. Later, it was necessary to build a bigger church to honor the precious reliquary in order to contain the great crowds that came every year on pilgrimage. Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter. Our first reading is from the book of Acts, verses 1 through 6, and I believe we have a musical interlude before that. Thank you. That's 15, 1 through 6. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved. Because there arose no little discussion and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and presbyters about this question. They were sent on their journey by the church and passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, telling of the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church as well as the apostles and the presbyters, and they reported what God had done with them. But some from the party of the Pharisees who had become believers stood up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the Mosaic law. The apostles and the presbyters met together to see about this matter. Responsorial Psalm, let us go in rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoice because they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem built as a city with compact unity, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord, according to the decree for Israel, to give thanks for the name to the name of the Lord. In it are set up judgment seats for the house of David. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. John 15:4a-5b. Remain in me as I remain in you, says the Lord. Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. The Gospel, John 15:1-8. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that he does, he prunes so it bears more fruit. You already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me, and I remain as I remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And now it's time for the saint of the day. Saint Damian, Devotee of Mullica. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. When Joseph de Zuster was born in Tremelo, Belgium in 1840, few people in Europe had any first-hand knowledge of leprosy or Hansen's disease. By the time he died at the age of 49, people all over the world knew about this disease because of him. They knew that human compassion could soften the ravages of this disease. Forced to quit school at age 13 to work on the family farm, Joseph entered the Congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, 6 years later taking the name of the fourth century physician and martyr. When his brother Pamphile, a priest in the same congregation, fell ill and was unable to go to the Hawaiian Islands as a science, Damian quickly volunteered in his place. In May 1864, 2 months after arriving in his new mission, Damian was ordained a priest in Honolulu, and was assigned to the islands of Hawaii. In 1873, he went to the Hawaiian government's leper colony, only on the island of Molokai, set up 7 years earlier. Part of a team of four chaplains taking that assignment for 3 months each year, Damian soon volunteered to remain permanently, caring for the people's physical, mental, and spiritual needs. In time, he became the most effective advocate to obtain promised government support. Soon the settlement had new houses and a new church, a school, and orphanage. Morale improved considerably. A few years later, he succeeded in getting the Franciscan Sisters of Syracuse, led by Mother Marianne Cope, to help staff this colony in Kalaukaupa. Father Damien died on April 15, 1889, having served 16 years among the patients with leprosy. His mortal remains were transferred to Belgium in 1936, where he was interred in the crypt of St. Anthony's Chapel, the Church of the Congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary at Lovingen. Damien contracted Hansen's disease and died of its complications. As requested, he was buried in Kalaukaupa, but in 1936, the Belgian government succeeded in having his body moved to Belgium. Part of Damien's body was returned to his beloved Hawaii brothers and sisters after his beatification in 1995. When Hawaii became a state in 1959, it selected Damien as one of two representatives in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol. Damien was canonized by Pope Benedict XVI on October 11, 2009. Saint Damien is a patron saint of people suffering from leprosy. During this time, he taught the Catholic faith to the people of Hawaii. Father Damien also cared for the patients himself and established leadership within the community to build houses, schools, roads, hospitals, and churches. He improved water and food supplies and housing and founded two orphanages, receiving help from other priests for only six of his 16 years on Molokai. In 1884, he contracted leprosy and refused to leave for treatment. He succumbed to the painful deforming disease 5 years later. Father Damien is famous throughout the world for his dedication and devotion to caring for the spiritual and physical needs of victims of leprosy, now referred to as Hansen's disease in Hawaii. We were separated from their families in 1866 to 1969 on the remote Kalaukaupa Peninsula on the island of Molokai. Dear St. Damien, you suffered terrible loneliness and turned to the Blessed Sacrament for comfort. We pray for all those who are lonely. Help us to give time to anyone we know who is lonely and to give time to Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. We pray especially for that. In 1995, Pope John Paul beatified Damien, declaring him blessed after church authorities were satisfied that Damien's intercession cured him of intestinal disease in 1895. The beatification step requires one attested miracle. Canonization requires two. And that is our saint of the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Oh, no, but they'll sure bless. You know, it's very interesting in the life of this saint. When Hawaii became a state in 1959, it selected Damien as one of its two representatives in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol. That is, give you a little more information on that. The Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol, each state is allowed two statues, and 30%, I think it's 30%, maybe a little higher than that, 30% of all the statues representing the 50 states, 30% of them are ministers of the gospel. That's a pretty select number.
That's interesting. And Mike, thank you again for such a great opportunity. And this is a great series, isn't it?
Oh, this is a great thing. What God does to these through these saints what he's doing through you and I.
Yes, and it's what a great opportunity it is for us to share these stories and share these lives and show how Jesus, our Lord, has worked through others just like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do these things too. And thank you, Mike. I'm going
well,
to end
Jesus
this particular
said apart
episode,
from him. Jesus said apart from him
nothing.
We can do nothing.
Exactly. But with him we are empowered. I'm
with him the sky
is
the limit.
That's right. It's all in this.
But
this, okay, go ahead.
Not even the sky's the limit.
Yeah. There is no limit.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lady can take us there, too.
Yeah.
Our Lord and Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Are with us right now, Mike.
I don't think Jesus would leave his mother out of this.
No, not at all.
I wonder if his mother had any inkling of all the titles she would have, of all the honor she would have from one end of the universe to the other. I wonder if she had any idea how much being his mother would change her life.
For everything that she's given, she wants to give it to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All the praise and all the thanks. She wants to just, give it to Jesus. So,
yeah.
That's good. Well, thank you again, Mike, and all you out there listening in Deeper Truth Land. We pray for our enemies. We pray for those who are in most need of his mercy. All right. Well, then, Mike, I know you got a doctor's appointment here coming up. So thank you. And may your appointment come out be okay.
Well, let's hope so.
All right. Well, then I will end this broadcast here with this song. Some of you might be able to recognize this.
We are
John, before we shut the switch off, a couple of news items just clearing the wire moments ago. New York Representative George Santos has been arrested on federal criminal charges, including fraud and money laundering. And one other important note, raise the age gun bill misses a crucial deadline, likely failing to become law. So that is, those are two news items just clearing the wires moments ago.
Was that a Republican or a Democrat?
Santos is a Republican.
And that's not good at all.
No, that's not good. But he has just been arrested.
We do pray for America. And we do pray for our leaders as well.
So. Well, we said repeatedly we pray for America. Now we have a good reason to.
Yes.
Or a better reason to.
And that we pray that our leaders, those that we vote in office, will hold high the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And share that and show that and live that in their own lives to be the true leaders. Hopefully that will happen. Thanks for that update, Mike. And thank you again. For we are one body. I remember when Dana sang that 1993 when Pope St. John Paul II was in Mile High Stadium there in Denver, and where the Denver Broncos played. So that was huge. So God bless you, Mike. We will see you again tomorrow. Hopefully my voice is coming back a little bit. Hopefully
it's
your
coming back a little
comes.
Bit.
I hope so. I've had a bit of some congestion because we've had cold winds, even though it's warming up. It's caused me to this off and on. And so that kind of hides some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, without that congestion, hopefully I will begin to sound better and better and better and better on top of all that. So God bless you, Mike, and thank you, all you out there in Deeper Truth Land. So God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Good day, everybody. Right. We are one body.
Amen.